The news here at One Bills Drive, much of it today deals with former running back Fred Jackson, who has signed a contract and now retires as a Buffalo Bill. John Murphy, Chris Brown here in our One Buffalo studio. Happy to have Fred Jackson with us. Hello, Fred. Welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, Murphy. I appreciate that. I'm doing well.
Right now, are you a Buffalo Bill, or did you retire? I mean, did you retire? Did you sign, and then you signed something else to retire? How does this work?
I wish we had a game today, because I am officially a Buffalo Bill, man. I could go out on the field.
And when does that end?
Today.
It starts and ends today.
Yep, starts and ends today.
Do they have any jobs for you? Anything they want you to do? Anything. I mean, you're under contract.
I'm going to talk to Sean as soon as I get off of this and see what I can figure out.
I was telling him it's a shame you've missed the off-season conditioning workout today. You'd be out there pushing sleds and stuff.
You know I would. I'd be out there, you know, diving right in to do everything.
Tell me, Chris asked you this a couple of moments ago when you signed, but what got this rolling? What made you think you wanted to come back and do this, sign the contract and be a Buffalo Bill?
I mean, just the support that I got from the fans. You know, whenever I was around or wherever a fan, you know, came up to me, one of the things they would say to me is, when are you going to sign that one-day contract as a Buffalo Bill? And, you know, it was something that I always wanted to do. And had the opportunity to talk to the guys upstairs, and they said, yeah, we can make it happen. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, it's a done deal. I'm going to sign that one-day contract. And, you know, I wanted to do it when it was best for everybody. You know, right now is easy. You know, I don't want to distract from what's going on with the team during the season. And to be able to do it right now and then go into the draft is something that I wanted to do.
Got Fred Jackson in the studio for a couple of minutes. If you have a comment or a question for Fred, give us a call. We got phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You said you heard it from fans a lot about signing the one-day contract. You have always been a guy who listens to the fans, and they feel they can approach you, right? I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of your Buffalo Bills career.
Yeah, you know, I think we have to accept who drives our game, and that's the fans. You know, without them, we don't have this game. So one of the things I wanted to do was, you know, let them know that I was a guy that was very approachable and that I played hard for them. You know, it was easy to go out and compete for fans that came up to you and let you know how much they appreciated you playing and the way you played made it easy for me to go out there and compete for them.
There's a part of me that, you know, just watching you along with Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean talking there after, you know, you sign your contract, they come over, congratulate you, kind of welcome you back to One Bills Drive. You know, I even heard Brandon say, you're welcome anytime you want to come around. And then my wheels are turning in my head. Sean McDermott's got to be thinking there's going to be a game where they are pitted as a major underdog. They're going to need somebody to come in and talk on Saturday night before the game. And I'm thinking he's already got Fred on that list to come in and talk to the team. I mean, you know, I know you majored in youth counseling, right, in college and stuff. Yep. And getting in front of people has never been an issue for you. Do you could you find yourself comfortable in that kind of a seat if asked?
Oh, yeah.
You know, to kind of pump a team up the night before a game?
Yeah. It would be, you know, not only would I find myself comfortable in it, you know, it would be something I would love to do. You know, especially if guys that you walk in that room and they respect you and what you have to say, you know, it makes it easy for you to, you know, come out and talk to guys and give them the knowledge that you've accumulated over your playing time. So it would be something that I would definitely be comfortable in doing. And I'm excited to see what these guys do next year as well.
Hey, Fred, you talked about the bond you have with the fans here. I wonder what you anticipated when you came here. It was almost this time of year, I want to think, in 06, right, when you first came here from Europe. What did you anticipate when you came here to Buffalo? You had Marv was here, the co-college connection, but beyond that, what did you know about Buffalo? What did you know about the Bills?
Not a lot. You know, the only thing that I knew about Buffalo was that they played the Cowboys twice in the Super Bowl. That was it. You know, after coming out here, you know, I didn't know much. You know, I knew it was going to be one of those things where I had to work at everything that I was going to get. And, you know, I knew that Marv was the GM, and he was a guy who told me if he had an opportunity, he was going to give me a look, and he gave me that look in NFL Europe. And when I got back over here, I was like, I want to make sure that I show him, you know, how much I'm appreciative of what he did for me. So I wanted to lay everything I had on the line for him, and, you know, I hope I did.
We had Kyle, you know, Kyle was upstairs, one of your former teammates, to witness this. We had Coletta's up there, who I know is a good buddy of yours. And Murph and I were talking about this earlier on the show. Just the way you built relationships with teammates seemed to come very easily to you. And I don't know why that bond just – it never quits with you. The one that – I told Murph, though, the one that impressed me the most was the one you had with Marshawn, because Marshawn is a cryptic character. He's not an easy guy to read. And he's not a guy to trust too many people either. for whatever reason. And you and him just seem to get along right from the jump. How did that relationship manifest itself so quickly with two guys competing at the same position? How did that all unfold and work so well so fast?
Oh, man. One of the things about Marshawn that, you know, I try and tell everybody is, you know, he determines what he thinks about you right away, you know, and he came in and had him over for dinner. You know, he met my wife, met my kids, and from that moment, we were just great friends. It worked so well just because I was never afraid to say to Marshawn what I was thinking at the time, and he knew that it was just me talking, you know, as somebody who cared for him.
Just being real.
Yeah. And that's the one thing about Marshawn is he likes real people, you know, and he does rub people the wrong way, but, you know, it's one of those things that I will always say that Marshawn is a great person because he is. He's one of the people that I can call and say, hey, I need this, and he's doing it, or he has somebody that can do it for me. So he is somebody that, you know, I would trust with my life, you know, because he knows he can trust me with his. If there's something I can do for him, I'm going to get it done. And our relationship just built because we told from the day he came in and the day he got here, he said, I want you to push me to be the best, you know, player that I can be. And in turn, I'm going to do the same for you. And anytime you get a teammate like that, you want to go out and do everything you can, you know, for them. And our relationship worked just because of that.
I know he had a nickname for you, which was Head, because he used to make fun of the size of your head.
Yeah.
But did you have a nickname for him?
I had way too many nicknames for Marshawn.
Are they suitable for air? Or?
They're not.
We're
not on Murph Show. I got to keep those off of Murph Show.
I got one other teammate, and similar observation that Chris made. I always admired the way you kind of adopted Aaron Williams later on in your career. Aaron came in, pretty high draft pick, second-round pick, went through a position change. I don't think he was happy when he first got here. And somehow you and he became like his older brother over the last few years of your tenure here.
Yep.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, Aaron's, just like you said, he's like a little brother, you know. And you see a guy that, you know, that in talking in the locker room that wants to do the right thing, that wants, you know, all of Buffalo to love him. And I say, you know what, man, just come hang out with me. I'll get you out in the community and see what it is you're playing for. You know, let these fans talk to you and tell you what it is that they love about your game, what they love about this game. And it makes it easy for you to play for him, you know. And after doing that for, you know, 2-3 weeks, you know, he bought into what was going on. All right, this is how I need to change, you know, what it is that I'm doing. And, you know, anytime you can do that for somebody and, you know they have the best intentions – it's so fulfilling. And you know, Aaron is another person. I talked to him just before I got here. You know, he couldn't be more proud that I was coming back to retire as a Buffalo Bill. So I think those relationships are what you take away from this game.
I think I was combing through just some of those historical notes on your career and such, and the one that always fascinated me was when Fred was still the full-time kick returner, but he also ran for 1,000 yards. So he had 1,000 kick return yards and 1,000 rushing yards in one season, and he was the first player in NFL history to do that.
He's done it since, by the way.
I don't think so either. But on top of that, he had about 500-something yards receiving. So at the end of the season, he had over 2,500 total yards from scrimmage, which was just like a stupid number. And I think there was one other guy that year that had numbers that were either close to that, or maybe there was one guy ahead of you or something. I can't remember if it was Forte or somebody like that. Did you ever – I mean, those are two numbers that are just stupid to put together in one season, just that many kick return yards and rushing yards.
Eric Wood had one of the best lines from the roast that I can't say, but it was a lot of fun to me. To me, I wanted to do as much as possible to help the team. And when Bobby April asked me to return kicks, I was all for it. It was something that I loved to do in college, you know, and got the opportunity to do it in the NFL. And when I first got here, Eric Studisville was, you know, one of my all-time favorite coaches, if not my all-time favorite coach, said, look, the more you can do, it's going to help you on a football team. So if they ask you to do something, you don't turn it down. And that's the way I felt about them. Whatever they asked me to do, I was going to do. And I got a chance to do it that season.
And I was reminded of the time when you threw the touchdown pass to Lee Evans in the Tennessee game, which I think was also in 2009. But then I find out that you also rushed and caught a touchdown pass So you're like only one of two guys in NFL history to run for one, throw for one, and catch one in the same game. What do you remember the rushing touchdown and the receiving touchdown at all? I remember the pass to Lee Evans. It's like a 37-yard pass. Yeah. And the Bills didn't even win the damn game. That was the worst part.
Right, here we go right here. Yeah, no, it's one of those things. I don't remember the rushing or the – that was my favorite play of that game. So that was the only one I remembered. And you're right, we didn't win the game. But I remember talking to Lee. He said, man, just put it up and I'll run under it. So he made it real easy for me to do.
With Fred Jackson, Bills running back. I don't have to say former today because you are officially
Yeah, that's right. He's taking up a roster spot today. Yeah.
Let's take a few phone calls for Fred Jackson. Brad on the line from Rochester. Brad, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, John, Chris, and Freddie.
How are you?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry about that. Hey, guys. Hey, Freddie, congratulations, man. It's pretty cool seeing that happen today. You're always one of my favorites. That team that you were on with Fitz and Stevie and CJ and you. If this team even wins a Super Bowl in the future, some of my favorite players were on that team that played. I got a picture of you and Stevie coming off the field together in my man cave, man.
Thanks. I appreciate that. That was a lot of fun to be a part of that group. You know, we had some characters on that group, and we enjoyed ourselves out there on the football field, definitely.
A lot of hardworking players on that team, and it just didn't happen. And I wanted to see you guys play in the playoffs so bad, but it didn't happen. But, man, you guys were a lot of fun to watch, and I have a lot of respect for the players that were on that team. My question is this to you. Do you ever think about – getting into coaching, maybe being a running backs coach or something, and teaching these young guys how to stonewall linebackers coming in on a blitz? You ever thought about coaching in the future?
I have. You know, it's one of those things that it will be something that I look at down the road. Right now I got kids that are, like, taking up every ounce of my time. So, I mean, I try and tell people all the time, I'm more busy with them than I was when I was playing. So, it's something down the road that I will look at once I get them going in their whatever fields they may be getting into. Coaching is something that I definitely want to get into.
Thanks, Brad. Here's a call from Mary Ellen in Alden, New York. Go ahead, Mary Ellen. You're on the air with us.
Hi. Thank you, guys. Fred, I just want to say welcome home again. back over the years when you were a spokesperson for a local bank, every Christmas I'd get my four young grandchildren Bills jerseys. And one year, I got everybody 22s. Three of them said Jackson. One of them on the back said Freddie. And it was at a South Towns branch, and he just had to go see his idol. And so you took a wonderful picture with him, which I had since gotten autographed, and it's hanging on my personal wall of fame here in my family room. And, Fred, I have coffee with you every morning, and I'm so glad you're home. And for everything you've done for the Bills and for the community. And that's it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad that I was able to get those jerseys signed for those guys and you have it hanging up. And make sure I take my coffee when you have it with me in the morning, okay?
You hear these calls. I mean, it's just a small example. A small example of the wide swath, you know, that Fred kind of cut through this community. I mean, it wasn't just on the field on Sundays. You know, it was Tuesdays going to hospitals or, you know, making community appearances or being a spokesperson for somebody. And this is the result of that. I mean, yeah. here he is. His career, for the most part, is 2 years in the rearview mirror. But people don't forget that stuff. They just don't.
You want to hear more calls, I assume, right? These calls are easy to take. Let's go to Rex in Tonawanda. Rex, hi, Rex. You're on the air with us. Oh, we lost him. Thanks very much. I got to ask you about what I'm tempted to say it's my favorite Fred Jackson play, and you know where I'm going with this. It's the opener at Chicago. Beautiful day on the lakeshore there, and the Bills and the Bears are close, and you know, the game gets to overtime. That run was such an amazing run that set up the Bills for the game-winning score in that game. What do you recall about that play and about the reaction of your teammates and the entire team opening day in Chicago to make a play like that? What do you recall about that?
One of those things, linebacker shot the gap was all I saw. And I knew when he shot the gap next to him was open. And when he shot that, I bounced outside, and just like I thought, there was a seam. And I said, okay, you're going to be one-on-one with the safety now. And so you got to beat him. And like a fool, he came in with his shoulders up high, and he gave me his chest. And I was able to make a play for us, and we were able to win the game. And one of the best things I remember about it is we were in Chicago, and I can hear you know, in the stands, some Freddie chants. Yeah. And, of course, it was my family, but still, that was one of the most important things about that day, or the most vivid things about that day, was hearing Freddie chants in Chicago Stadium.
Hit the pylon on that, right? Yeah. Didn't you almost get the pylon there?
And that was another thing that made me mad, is I didn't score. I should have scored right there.
Yeah. Amazing play and a great setup play for the victory on opening day. That's what got me. It was hot, right? It was a warm day.
It was.
And it was opening day. And that was a 9-win season that didn't result in the playoffs. But in many respects, I think that play kind of set up the rest of the season and whatever success you guys had that year.
It did. It was a lot of fun. And I think that was the first time we had won in Chicago in a while.
Yeah.
Or maybe ever. But it was great to be a part of, you know. So it was one of those things that I said it all the time, and I try and tell young guys, you know, when your number's called, be ready to make a play because, you know, you're going to have that opportunity.
Call here from Jeff in Jamestown. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the air with Fred Jackson.
Hey, Fred, this is Jeff. I wanted to ask you, if you hadn't gotten hurt in 2009, you were in the running for the offensive MVP, you think you would have made it?
I believe so. You know, it was one of those things that I hated. I think that was 2011, though.
Yeah.
2011. I hated that I got hurt. It was one of my best seasons that I was having, and to have it anytime you have an athlete or anybody hurt or taken out by injury, it's one of the worst feelings in the world.
The thing that chapped me about that more than anything was, I mean, at that point, Fred was a shoo-in for the Pro Bowl. And when the Bills put him on IR, as it was explained to me, he's no longer considered for coach and player voting for the Pro Bowl because mm-hmm. you're on IR, yeah. Which to me, that's backwards. And that's a rule that's got to be changed because I understand he's not going to be fit to play in the game, but you don't take away what the guy did on the field for the time that he was healthy.
Also, you can't acknowledge
exactly.
Season, yeah.
And he didn't go to the Pro Bowl that year. Yeah. I was chapped about that one. I didn't like that.
You and me both, Chris. You and me both.
Call here from John and Snyder. Go ahead, John. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Well, great to be here with Freddie on a great day like today. And I think, you know, all his accomplishments on the field are well documented, and everybody knows that. But I think it's other people have said this before, and I think I've been on the show once before talking about this, is some of the work he does that went unnoticed. And, you know, I had a son who was having some transition problems from high school to college, and, you know, wasn't sure if he could do it. And I told him, I said, you know, you got to think of what Freddie would have done. And it made a little bit of sense when it came from me, but it made a lot of sense when it came from Freddie. So I met Fred on a plane, and I told him what was going on. I said, could you just write a little note saying, hey, you know, good luck, keep it up, don't give up. And he wrote me a beautiful note that I gave to my son that is still one of his prized possessions. And he's 24 now, lives in Cleveland, but when he comes home, his bedroom is like a shrine to Freddie. And a lot of it has to do with that note and the encouragement that he gave him that brought him to, you know, really great heights in his college career as a student and as a person, not as an athlete, but as a student and as a person. And really, it was something that, again, people don't notice it. It's just an act of kindness. It was between Freddie and myself that I gave to my son, and it made a huge difference in his life. And I always wanted to thank you for that, Freddie.
Oh, man. I remember exactly what you're talking about when we had that discussion on the plane. I was happy to do that. You know, anytime, you know, you can talk to somebody and give them some words of encouragement to push through whatever it is that they're facing in life, and, you know, you have the power to do that, I think you should always jump on that. And it meant a great deal that you asked me to do it and asked me to give him some encouragement. So I'm glad that, you know, I was able to help, and he still, you know, has a little shrine. You know, I got to see a picture of the shrine, so make sure you tweet that to me. But, you know, I was more than happy to do that, and I'm glad to hear that he took it to heart and became a wonderful person.
Mike in Niagara Falls on the air with us with Fred Jackson. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I'd like to just share a quick story. I think it's 2011. I'm waiting in line for about 3 hours. I have kids like 6, 4, 2. The Bills went signing autographs. Like I said, 3, 4 hours. The long day. So I think we're one of the last to get our autographs. And my 6 and 4-year-old, you know, get an autograph from Fred. And Freddie actually took the time to ask me questions about my 2-year-old. I'm like, who does that? The guy's been signing autographs for 4 hours. He's tired. And here he is asking me questions. And, you know, one of my greatest moments. You know, I was, you know, been a long time season ticket holder, been a million games, you know, Super Bowl years. But probably my greatest memory of a Bills game when the Bills came back from 21-0, and Fred had that run, and me and my 5-year-old son are chanting, "Freddie, Freddie," and it's just amazing how many great players the Bills have had years. You know, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, but. I really think, I could be wrong, but I think Freddie's the most popular out of all of them. And it's a credit to Fred Jackson, of course.
Oh, man, that's a huge compliment, and I appreciate that. You know, and I remember the autograph signing you were talking about. And one of the things I wanted everybody to know when I was sitting there doing those autographs is, look, I know you guys have been waiting here just as long as I have, so I wanted you to know that it was important for me that you guys stuck around for 4 hours. So I wanted you to know that by me showing you that I cared what your 2-year-old was doing at the time, because I'm sure your 2-year-old was like, "Man, what are we still doing here? I don't even know who this guy is." So we got to go. So, but I mean, it's like I said, it meant the world to me that you guys hung out that long.
Hey, Fred, we want to show you something on Twitter. Hall of Famer Andre Reed, Bills Hall of Famer, tweeted this out 9 minutes ago. Pictures, and he said, "The world is right when players can retire with a team that feels like family. Fred Jackson started on the practice squad and played until 2014 on the Bills. Well deserved." And he said, "I got a new haircut in honor of your last day as Buffalo Bill."
That's Andre a Fred Reed. Jackson special.
Yeah, hey, man. Picture of Fred and Andre, and Andre got his haircut.
Andre
like
looks good.
It does look like
yeah, he looks good. He looks like he could be an older brother, really. So,
is that the term, fauxhawk? I thought it was frohawk.
There's two. Okay. His is actually a frohawk, not a fauxhawk, but okay. Don't tell him that, though. So, but he looks good. I think it's a haircut he needs to rock it for a while.
A couple of more calls for you, Fred, and we can do this all day, but we can't, actually. Michael calling from Buffalo. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, how you doing, John Murphy?
Good.
I like your show on Fred Jackson there.
Yes, right, he's here.
Yeah, how you doing, Fred Jackson?
Not too bad. How you doing?
All right, I'm glad you're back in Buffalo. We need you.
Man,
are you ready to step in,
Fred? Whenever you call me, I'll be ready.
Here's a call from Mary in Fredonia. Go ahead, Mary. You're on the air with us.
Hi, Fred. Thanks for taking my call. I want to thank you for coming back and retiring as a Bill. You're back where you belong. To watch when you played, and you have a great life, sir. Thank you for coming back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call, and it was real easy for me to come back with all the love and support that I got from all you guys, so thank you.
Fred, you were just back a couple of months ago for the roast, the WGR roast. This is a great day. That might have been the hardest I've laughed in years, though. That exceeded my expectations. I was there to introduce Fitz, who was ridiculously funny. Fitz took his pants off in front of the whole crowd. I still have to remind myself, right? I mean, he took his clothes off right in front of the whole crowd.
He did. And the beautiful thing about it, it exceeded my expectations, too. But the beautiful thing about it, I knew with the lineup we had, Fitz was going to be the one that took the cake.
He killed it.
He was
brought the house
great.
Down, huh?
Yeah, he was great. And for some reasons, obvious reasons, we can't show everything that happened, but it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
It was a great night.
There was something special about that group too. I know, you know, people are going to look back at the records and say they didn't win a ton of games, but when you think about Fitz and Fred and Stevie being a seventh round pick, and there was a lot of guys that, I mean, even Donald Jones, I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of guys that had to scrape their way onto an NFL roster, and it was almost like there was a brotherhood within a brotherhood in that locker room. I know Stevie called them the goon squad, the receivers, and, you know, I think Fitz used the misfits or whatever it was. And what did that do to the bond in there, you know, between you guys that all had to maybe do a little extra to get where you got?
Oh, man, it was one thing that definitely motivated us to play for each other. You know, we were guys that, you know, weren't necessarily supposed to be there, but we had an opportunity to go out and play well and play hard for each other. And when you can play for somebody else next to you that wasn't a first round draft pick or that had been on a few teams before they got there, you wanted to leave everything on the line for them. And we played hard for each other. We didn't win as many games as we would like to, but we had a lot of fun, and we competed for each other and played well or played hard for each other when we got that chance.
We're going to ask you in a minute here what's next, But I wonder if this is might be a clue as to what's next. You just completed a week at NFL Broadcast Boot Camp, mm-hmm. right, at Bowling Green last
week? I did,
week,
yep.
2 weeks ago or last week?
Last week.
What was that like? What did you learn there?
It was a lot of fun. You know, we got to hang out with some of the best in the business at it. You know, I'm hanging out with some of the best in the business right now. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know, learning just a bunch of stuff behind the scenes. You guys are awesome at this, by the way. You know, learning some of the stuff that I learned at the camp. It's a tough business, and you guys do a tremendous job, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for you guys after doing the boot camp. You know, and if I get the opportunity, it will be something that I'd like to get into.
They work on a lot of different things, right, including game broadcasts.
Yep,
did you like that part of it?
It was one of the toughest things I did, but I think if I got a chance to do it, I would enjoy it a lot. You know, just we called the Super Bowl last week or last year.
Okay.
So we got to call two or three drives from that. And, you know, I was happy with the outcome. So that made it a little bit easier to talk about. But, no, it was a lot of fun to do. And you get to tell it from your perspective as a player who played in the game. So I think that would be an interesting – or that would – that's what made it interesting for us to do it, is we were talking about it as if we were a player. So it was a lot of fun to do.
And you're home in Iowa, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you live now,
yep.
with those kids. But what do you think you want to do in the years ahead? What interests you? You're 37, which looks pretty young to me.
Yeah. that's what I try and tell people all the time. I was 34, and I was the oldest person at this. I was just like, I'm only 34. But you know, it's a lot of stuff. You know, I'm starting a football camp, you know, here in Buffalo. I'll be doing that. My first one will be in August. So I want to do that. I want to see how much more stuff I can get involved in here in Buffalo. You know, I would like to be an ambassador for this team. You know, I love the Buffalo Bills, and I would like to do as much work as I can, you know, for them and promoting the Buffalo Bills. So, if I get an opportunity to do that, I would love to do that. But, you know, it, like I said, as much as I can do for the city of Buffalo and in the city of Buffalo is what I want to do, or, you know, all of Western New York.
Fred, congratulations. It's a great way to go out, right, to retire as a Buffalo Bill after making your mark as a Buffalo Bill. That's the way to do it.
It is. I appreciate it, Murph. Thanks.
Thanks for coming by.
Yep.
Fred Jackson joining us. Thanks to all of you who've phoned in as well.